The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Which coast?
Traveling east to west.
Aaron Ladd.
No, he did it. No.
Mark Gunnels.
At the house on it.
Chiefs coast to coast.
What point was it that broke you? Be honest, because it's been that kind of year. But
the pick six for sure.
Why?
Because it was a follow up after the fumble recovery. It was like back to back. It was like, wow. But yeah, let's get into it, man.
Mark doesn't have any time for the pleasantries or damn, how was my Christmas or what?
No, I'm up saying, to? Yeah. I want to warm that up. That's what I mean by let's get into
it. It's like, let's go. Let's get this is Marshawn. He's just here so he doesn't get fined. Let me send this little post out really quickly on X. Let everybody know we're live as we are every Tuesday at 5:30 on Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network.
So how was your Christmas? Let me ask you first. You spent it at One Arrowhead Drive for parts of your Christmas day.
Oh, man. It was okay. Well, kind of an early-ish morning. You know, not used to the noon games, but, you know, still felt like Christmas. I never really take an opportunity to cover the NFL for granted, so it was cool to be there, and I had a good time. Outside of the obvious, I definitely had a good Christmas. I'll head to Dallas here tomorrow, first thing in the morning, and be in Dallas the rest of the week.
Covering
the Cotton Bowl. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I see Marvin Harrison Jr. is not likely to play, so that's a big advantage for you guys.
That's okay. You know, maybe he'll catch the next one, you know, maybe he'll be there next time the Buckeyes are, but it was good. How was Mavs Christmas? Are y'all still in Santa mode? Do y'all still do Santa for Mav?
Yeah. He has a lot of toys. I'm looking at him right now. Actually, I'm recording live from my living room. He has a trampoline over here. He has a drum set. He has the Hot Wheels set up. Like it's a lot going on over here in the Gunnels household.
Well, it sounds like Mav was on the nice list this year. The Kansas City Chiefs, though, especially that offense, on the naughty list. We'll break that down here on Chiefs Coast to Coast, episode 70. Mark Gunnels out in L.A., Aaron Ladd here in Kansas City. So is Steven Serta, who's back behind the board as we recap another Kansas City loss here on Coast to Coast. The good, the bad, and the ugly from that one. We'll go to Vegas and recap how Mark did before he gives us three more plays ahead of the Bengals game. Another miss for Harrison Butker. Is it time to panic on the Kansas City special teams unit? We'll talk about that. And then look at the running back room as Isaiah Pacheco leaves the game early dealing with a concussion. Can't have Chiefs Coast to Coast without you all, the fam, the listeners. Last week's chat was very active, and it was an active voicemail line. We got one other voicemail we'll get to, but if you're rocking with us on the day after Christmas here, chime in, hashtag C2C. Let us know what you think is wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs or how much money Mark has stolen from your kids Christmas this year. Or, you know, just we want to hear from y'all.
It's a rough one, man. It's been I feel like I go 1-2 every week at this point. I know I had that 1-3-0 week, but yeah, it's just been a rough year, man. rough year all around. I guess it's contagious from the Chiefs Kingdom this year.
816-514-1267 is our voicemail line. You can also leave a review in the podcast app. We read those as well. Any way you want to let us know that you're tapped in with us, we like and appreciate that. Let's just hop right into Chiefs recap.
Mahomes avoids. Throws. He's a magician.
Chiefs recap.
We're not going to go heavy on the notes with this one because this is just a vibes cast. After the Chiefs fall to the Raiders 2014 on Christmas afternoon, Patrick Mahomes, 27-44, 235 yards, a pick, and a passing touchdown at the end. The run game left a lot to be desired as well. Patrick Mahomes is actually KC's leading rusher in this loss to the Raiders. He finishes with 53 rushing yards on 10 attempts. For Aiden O'Connell, the story can be told in one stat, and I think this stat is just, it's very telling, Mark Gunnels. Aiden O'Connell did not complete a pass. He was 0-for-10 after the first quarter. Finished the game with 9 completions on 21 attempts for a total of 62 passing yards. And Davante Adams, all-pro wide receiver, all-world wide receiver, one of the best in the league, is limited to just 4 receiving yards on the afternoon. I mean, you already hear those two stat lines pregame. You think Kansas City, no matter how ugly it is, they come out with the win. But it's just that disastrous 7 seconds, as we kind of alluded to in the lead-up, Mark Gunnels. The fumble on kind of a Ferrari package, something, handoff with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, hands Vegas, a scoop and score. And then the very next play, Mahomes is intercepted by Jack Jones, who was talking a little bit in the lead-up the week before about the magician and stop the magic and all that. Well, he pulled a rabbit out of his hat with that pick six. And ended up, that was the difference for Kansas City between them and Vegas. So the first point here, we'll toss it to you on this one, Mark Gunnels. Kansas City's offensive issues continue. Is it fixable? Because Mahomes was at the podium after the game and said, you know, if we can clean it up, I'll do his voice a little bit. You know, we can clean it up, you know, if we can clean it up, we'll be good to go. Or something like that. He's like, if we clean it up, we can beat anybody. But is this, can you clean this up with 2 weeks left and the division still hanging in the balance?
Well, I'll start here. And shout out to Chris in the chat waving at us. It's not as bad as it was yesterday. I'm recording here on Tuesday. That was rock bottom. Now, in previous games, we've seen this offense move the ball pretty fairly consistently, but they would have a turnover or a penalty that kind of stalls the drive out. And this game, they didn't have anything going. Like, they weren't moving the ball at all. I mean, I know they had a couple of drives here and there towards the end. But, yeah, for the most part, it was 3 and outs. It felt like consistently throughout the whole entire game. Every time they did a drop back, the edge rushers were right in Mahomes' face. He didn't have any time. And then even times when he did have time, he didn't think he had time because he was so used to not having it. And he would maybe create pressure when it wasn't even there or run out the pocket when it was actually clean. And that's the problem. When things are going on like that early on in the game, as a quarterback, your clock, it speeds up, even though it may not have to on certain plays when it's actually blocked well. But since you're so used to it not being done that way, you just have that habit. And I think that's what you saw yesterday in particular. And also the play calling didn't help. This offense is not designed for this drop back passing game. You need a shotgun, 4 or 5 wide receivers wide. This isn't that Chiefs offense anymore. They have to go back to the fundamentals and really just say, we're going to go heavy personnel. We're going to put out two or three tight ends, run the ball, go under center, use some play action, some screens. Like, that's the type of game they're going to have to play, is keep away. Which sounds crazy for a Patrick Mahomes offense, but that is where we have come to, Aaron Ladd. They have to be the ones to play keep away now and play ball control. This is not a fireworks offense. They're not getting anything down the field at all. As you can see, defensive backs, they're just sitting on routes. They're not even scared of guys going over the top. That's why you saw that pick six, because they're like, you're not going past 15 yards. There's no threat of that.
So that's why everything is so hard, because you have to nickel and dime your way down the field. And that's just so hard not to make a mistake when you're relying on 10 to 15 play drives. You don't have a cheat code to get you a cheap 40 to 50 yards on any given play. That's not happening with this offense right now. So that's what it is. They have to face reality. I know Andy Reid has a vision for his offense and what it should look like, but sometimes you got to go with what you've seen thus far. And we have 15 to 16 weeks of evidence that this team is not built for that type of offense. It's time to go back to just some old school football, man, and get ugly, because that's what we're going to have to do. Because the one thing I can say, though, this defense is going to keep you in the game. The Chiefs don't get blown out. That's one thing I can't say.
Well, so I came over here and said that after the Eagles game.
That's why I still, whether you want to call it delusion or not, still have some confidence that they can do something in the playoffs, because I know they're going to be in games. Like, the biggest gap in margin was that Broncos game. I believe they lost 24-9, but in that game they had 5 turnovers. That's even egregious for this year's Chiefs offense. So I think you could hang your hat on, we're going to play defense, we're going to be in every game, but can the offense just do enough? Can they just do enough?
We got an active chat kicking up here on Chiefs Coast to Coast episode 70. Scarce Insight says, objectively, it's not what the Chiefs did badly. The Raiders, man on man, physically dominated. I'm going to push back on that a little bit as we try and figure out what went wrong for Kansas City in the 20-14 loss on Christmas Day. This was another example of kind of what we've been talking about all year long. It's a one possession loss where Kansas City effectively shoots themselves in the foot and hands the other team the game. It wasn't the penalties that we had seen in previous games. It was, for me, the two turnovers that led directly to 14 points, paired in with kind of what people were saying in the chat now. Like, the offensive line, they got taken to task yesterday, and this was kind of something that we had touched on in previous episodes, and, you know, it had shown its head at times, but Kansas City did enough to win, or did not enough to lose, where other things happened that took us away. But in this game, all four quarters, it seemed like Max Crosby was having his way. Wanya Morris got his welcome to the NFL moment, if you will. Juwan Taylor continues to rack up the penalties and really is starting to seem like you're not getting your money's worth if what you thought you were getting for the $20 million a year. I'm worried that the question that we started with this whole thing off is it fixable? Can you clean this up with two games left in the regular season? And the answer is no. Like, you scapegoated Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, and they weren't there yesterday. So you pretty much had to play with the guys out there who people said were pared down to your best options. Look at the way they came out. I mean, you hang your hat on the first 15, Mark Gunnels, like, the first 15 were not crisp, clean, and attention to detail played. Like, they went 3-and-out to start the game for the second week in a row. Like, what do we – you expect teams to be humming this time of year. You expect to be paring down to what your best plays are and what you score, where your scoring plays are. Serta chimes in our private chat and says, 21 pressures allowed by the Chiefs offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus. Wanya Morris had 13 of them. And Juwan Taylor had 4 of them. Like, the Raiders did play physically. They did have a message, and they have been kind of rallying around Antonio Pierce and trying to, you know, really adapt that Raider mentality down the stretch here. But I still see this as another example of KC had plenty of opportunities to take advantage and win this game and clinch an 8th straight division title. And that 7 seconds of ball just didn't work.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking, doing the math in my head. If you take away those two defensive touchdowns, the Chiefs win 7-6, or what, 14-6. The Raiders only scored 6 points offensively in that game, man. And it has to be so frustrating for that defense, right? I mean, you're out there playing your hearts out, not allowing a completion for 3 quarters. I've never heard of that before. And you still lose the game.
it's just completely heartbreaking. But to back to the question, I'm still going to keep banging the table, man. This is fixable.
It is fixable. It's not.
What I said earlier, they have to change their philosophy. You don't have to change.
You can't change philosophy. It's too late in the season to be changing philosophy.
I'm not saying change the playbook. I'm not saying, but you can change the play calling in situations. Why are you playing drop back football? Like when your offensive line is continuously to get beat. You saw the stat Resorta gave us. They allowed 21 pressures. But you're still dropping, doing 5-7 step drops. Why? That makes no sense. Is it illegal to go under center? Is it illegal to have 2 or 3 tight ends out there and 12 and 13 personnel?
Well, I think the truth is their run game is so, even if you don't want to say it's inefficient, if that's too strong of a word, it's not creative enough to where they can line up. And defenses know, oh, we're not sure if this is a run or a pass. Like Kansas City's run game is at the point now, especially with Jerick McKinnon. I know he was moved to IR. This happened since the last time we recorded. He's going to miss the last end of the regular season. And now Isaiah Pacheco is being evaluated with a concussion, likely may will monitor his status. We'll just say that. I have no faith. And I'm sure opposing defenses have no fear that Kansas City is going to line up and run the air out of the ball. Like they have shown us no ability to do that. This is the time of the year that you actually really need to be able to do that. I think it stood out in the first quarter, especially. Let me give this stat and I'll toss it back to you, Mark. It's from Adam Teicher on X, covers the Chiefs for ESPN. For some context on how bad it's been for the Chiefs, consider this. They had negative 18 total yards in the first quarter. That's the worst for any NFL team since the Chiefs in 2011. Tyler Palco was the quarterback and Todd Haley was the coach. He was fired the next day. Negative 18 yards in the first quarter. I don't see that as, hey, we can just go back to the drawing board and fix what the issues are. Because when you go back to that drawing board, where are you pointing to as we were humming as a clean operation and we were playing our best football? The Chicago game? The Chargers game? Training camp? Like, what are you pointing to as, hey, remember when we did this well? Remember when we ran the ball? I said this on the podcast before, and I say it again. Is the playoff loss going to come at home or on the road this year, Mark Gunnels?
I'm not answering that question right now. But back to the point here. Mecole Hardman's coming back soon, right?
Justin Ross came back. On a serious note, Justin Ross came back. Was he the fix? Was he the savior that y'all hoped he would be?
I mean, nobody said he was going to be the savior, but he only had, 10 snaps, I think, or 50, no more than 15. He did have a catch for like a yard or something. But the point is, well, I saw this thing in the group chat in the comments. This is funny. From Steezy, he said, I get more separation in a 2012 Civic than these Chiefs receivers have gotten all season. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Chris said Justin Ross had 10 snaps, one catch.
MVS had 61 snaps.
Zero catches, 0 yards. Good cardio, though. He got some really good cardio. I'm happy for him for that one.
You know, sometimes if your talent isn't there, like you play pickup with us, right? We'll walk out on the floor and we'll see a team where it's like, oh, these guys don't look physically imposing, but sometimes they have a system or they know each other or they play ball together where they're hard to guard. They got a couple plays where they can get off and they can get buckets. Kansas City needs to and I think Orlovsky even pointed this out on X, like, they need to find a way to maximize the strengths of what their unit does well. And they have not. We're week 16, still trying to figure out what these guys do well. Like, I don't know how you can say it's fixable.
So here's my question. And this has kind of been a talking point on amongst Chiefs Kingdom. What is the major difference between this year and last year when the only guy gone is Juju?
There's a lot of changes.
But Juju was the only main person that's not there from a player standpoint.
That's not exactly true. But I'll hear you.
Who else?
You have two new tackles.
Okay, but
your running back missed the entire offseason because he was rehabbing from an injury.
Both those tackles last year allow a lot of pressures as well. I think that's kind of
your best wideout last year was replaced by a rookie this year. Kelsey, on top of that, is a year older, and I saw a couple people talking about it in the chat, but like, he's not locked in. There's no way around it. We don't even have to put a finger on why. I'm just going to say he's not locked in. If you want to say he's a year older, if you want to say it's because of the off-the-field stuff, whatever. He's not giving you the same production that he's been giving you in the past. The numbers may look the same, and yes, that's a very lazy way of looking at the stat sheet and saying, oh, well, he's still the guy, but no, like, his yards have not been as effective as they have been in years past. Like, defenses are letting you have Kelsey still. Here, let him get his 70.
I think he's banged up. He's playing through injuries, man. I truly believe that. I think after the year, we're going to hear a lot of stuff about.
So I just gave you four or five different things that are different. Matt Nagy is a new offensive coordinator. That matters. Even if he's running the same exact system, it's coming from a different voice. The communication has to.
It shouldn't be this bad, though. Not this bad.
And the one possession games that they were winning in years past, the ball hasn't gone their way this year.
I still think I'm not going to make any big predictions or anything. But like I said earlier, and I think you agree, they're going to be in every game. I don't think you're predicting them to get blown out in a playoff game, no matter who they play. So
they really should have got blown out this game. Realistically, if they were playing like a legit team, they would have got blown. Like, the Raiders are terrible. The Raiders played a C-minus game. If they were playing like the Eagles, if this was the Eagles game and the Chiefs put this performance on tape, they would have got blown out.
But the Eagles defense wouldn't have been that effective.
I agree.
So you got to put that in consideration as well. But yeah, man, you're 9-6. You still can win the division if you win this week. Probably don't have room to rest, even if you are stayed in. You're going to be stuck in the seating that you're in because this offense needs as many reps as they can. So even if they do win against Cincinnati, I still think you got to go full throttle against the Chargers week 18, no matter if your seating could change or not, because you're not in a position offensively to take any games off. They got to try to get in some type of rhythm if they can. Like you mentioned before, Jet McKinnon is on IR. And based on the timing of it, it sounds like he wouldn't be back until the divisional round, because he wouldn't be back for the wild card weekend. Because that would be 3 weeks. And we're in the IR, that's at least four. So if I'm right on my math there, I don't think he'll be available to divisional round.
That may be a sir to ask. I'm not sure if you have to exactly miss four games or regular season time. Okay. I don't know the exacts on that, but we can have sort of look at that. I got the notes from Dan Orlovsky, and then one other note from X. Orlovsky said the Chiefs are not good enough to play shotgun drop back football on a play by play basis anywhere except for quarterback, which is talking about your point from earlier. They have to protect their tackles more and hand it off. They need help in their skill position to get open using more play action pass. They have to help their weaknesses, not expose them, which we've been begging for quite some time. More offensive ineptitude information here. The Chiefs have played 109 games with Patrick Mahomes as their starter. Today's performance, that would be Christmas Day, ranked 109th overall in offensive EPA per drive. It's dark. Serta says he has to miss a total of four games. You want to give the defense some flowers before we move on? Because I feel like they really should deserve it. Yes, the Raiders played a C-minus game, but the Chiefs are a defensive football team this year, and they proved it in this game on Christmas.
Yeah, another week of a number one wide receiver being completely shut down. Like you mentioned earlier, Devontae Adams had one catch for 4 yards. Name-worthy guys that they've played and shut down. Stephon Diggs only had 4 catches for 24 yards. Justin Jefferson against the Chiefs only had 3 catches for 28 yards. And I can keep going on and on. And the more these performances keep racking up, the more smiling Legarius Sneed's agent is doing. Because that price tag continues to rise, and they're going to have to make a decision. Because I don't see a world where they can keep Sneed and Chris Jones. Probably you can only keep one of those guys. So it's going to be a lot of decisions made in the offseason for Brett Veach. Obviously,
talking about the receiver room. That's going to be a trickle effect and everything. You got, like, I believe 7 defensive players that can enter free agency that are all valuable members and getting in the rotation. So it's unfortunate, man. You could potentially wasting probably the best defense you may ever have in the Patrick Mahomes era. I mean, this is a top 5 defense without question. It's going to be hard to replicate that again, especially when you want to build up the offense and bring some more receivers in for the foreseeable future. So in a year where it seems like a lot of teams are down, especially in the AFC, now the Ravens look like they're definitely the cream of the crop amongst everybody else. But all in all, I think this is a could be a blown opportunity when you have this great defense, but a very, very frustrating offense.
I want to get your panic meter on Harrison Butker. The Chiefs kicker missed his 2nd attempt in consecutive weeks and 2nd of the season. It was a 36-yard attempt that did kind of loom large down the stretch. This is something that I kind of joked about in pre-pro. Like, I remember coming on this platform all year last year, dissecting the hold and the snap, and we're talking about Dustin Colquitt, and we're talking about all this stuff and the special teams getting spicy in the smoke. And last week, it's underinflated footballs. This is a guy that's been extremely reliable all year long, but just as Kansas City is hitting rock bottom offensively, now there's some question marks in the special teams unit. I'm not 100%. I mean, call me yellow light lad. Go ahead. But this is something that's starting to rear. You would have hoped that they worked this out or started missing like midseason so that you could kind of rebound as you go into postseason play. But another area of Kansas City's game that's starting to get shaky at the wrong time.
Yeah. And the answer here is kind of complicated, because if you're just asking me if the Chiefs offense was just like normal, like we're used to, it would be very low. But it's only higher because this team doesn't really score touchdowns. So every point you get is very valuable. So that's why it's probably even higher than it should be, because those kicks mean a lot more now when points are at a premium for this team. So, I mean, if I give you a scale of 1 to 10, I'll say I'm about like at a 5. Yeah, about a 5.
I think what worries me the most is just, maybe this doesn't worry me the most, but they just can't seem to string together consecutive scoring drives. Like, this is KC's first 4 drives, punt, 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 touchdown. So then once the touchdown happens, and that did inject some juice, defense gets to stop, you get the ball right back, fumble, interception, miss field goal, downs. And it's like all the momentum that you built up. And I came on here like maybe a month ago and we're like, hey, if you score 21 points a game with your defense, like, you're sitting good. You're in great territory. If you can get 3 touchdowns a game, another game where they failed to score.
I do want to highlight one thing, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
And especially watching the game yesterday and kind of been the theme throughout the year. How often do we see Mahomes 1, 2, 3, boom, like the ball's out and it's just clean? It seems like almost every time he has to run around and try to create something. There's never just a clean drop back in rhythm, timing, find a receiver in the middle of the field somewhere or down the field. Like the one time it happened yesterday, I think it only happened in the 4th quarter. Remember Richie that James. One? Richie James. Yeah. Yep. That was the only in rhythm ball I can remember that was actually down the field. And I do want to highlight that, you know, as all the negatives and things like that, maybe you found a little something there in Richie James yesterday. I mean, he had 3 catches for 54 yards. That's about an average of 18 a catch. I mean, I'm reaching for anything I can right now to feel a little better about this offense, Aaron. So you got to bear with me. But we have been talking about Richie James on this platform, though.
It's dark days. This is dark days.
But, right here. But we have been talking about him on this platform as a guy that is a real receiver. Like, we always talk about how he had 600 yards last year with the Giants with Daniel Jones at quarterback. And, you know, I mean, this is a bad group, so you got to pick the best out of the bad. And, you know, I do think you could have maybe found something there. You know, them connecting on that ball
you know, maybe that's some chemistry there, some trust building there between those two guys. So I do look forward to seeing Richie James during these last few games.
Any snaps they plan on giving Mecole Hardman, I'd rather just see them go to Richie James at this point. I don't need to see Mecole reinjected into this group. I know what he gives Kansas City.
Not even in like those gadgety type things.
No, because I actually thought Richie was good in the return game too. Started off the game with one and a punt return too. He also brought some juice there. Like I'm okay. I'm good there. Let's update the chat a little bit. Very active chat. Who's got a lot of things to say. This is from Orlando on YouTube, Coast to Coast. My 9-year-old son said, "Daddy, the Chiefs are ruining Christmas." It's okay, buddy. We're headed home so you can open your presents. That's what yesterday was for me, Orlando says. SMH, let's go Chiefs. We're at the point now. Remember when, like, you know, you play Madden and, like, certain teams, like, you were off limits? Like, I remember growing up playing Madden, like, there was a no Falcons rule because it was Vic. Like, there's no Falcons. For the Chiefs forever, it was like, no Chiefs. You can't get no Chiefs rule. Now, if you want to pick the Chiefs,
you want.
Yeah. Kids got Madden in their PlayStations and whatever yesterday. Like, they stayed far away from the Chiefs offense on Madden. You could have
that team now, the off limits team, is the Ravens.
Yeah, they looked good yesterday. This is from Joshua on Facebook. Matt Nagy is not fixable. He is an average position coach, but a horrible coordinator. No fire, no accountability. Pete Sweeney and I have been going back and forth for a while about the Eric Bieniemy conversation, and maybe we can touch on that quickly. Chris on X says, Connor Embry, first-year wide receiver coach, no Mike Kafka. I think we were talking about the differences between last year and this year. I don't know how you can't at least give Matt Nagy a piece of the accountability pie, Mark Gunnels. Like, at the end of the day, even if you want to put the wide receivers in their own group, the running game and the offensive line, what they put on tape yesterday, is not playoff caliber. And I think Matt Nagy owns a piece of that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I think everybody gets a piece of the blame in this. It's not just one person or one group. You know, even Mahomes deserves some blame in this. I mean, there's plenty of times where we see guys that are actually open. You know, I know it doesn't happen very often, but there are times where there are guys open down the field and, you know, he just doesn't see it. And, you know, I think it's a direct result of not trusting the offensive line, protecting long enough, not trusting the receivers to be in the right spot or attack the ball in the air or even just catch the ball, you know. And I hate seeing my franchise quarterback having to run as much as he did yesterday. It really broke my heart, Aaron, because that just tells me that either guys aren't getting open or he's just not trusting what he's seeing out there. Or it's a mixture of both. And that's a bad problem to have this late in the year, which goes to your point that this is not fixable. But I'm still going to hold out some optimism there.
Let's talk playoff picture. I had a little fun with you on X because this is from Mark A. Gunnels.
Yeah, you were poking fun at me during the game.
This was pregame. This is Christmas Eve. 6:30 on Christmas Eve. You had nothing else to do, so you sent this message out on social media. The one seed is still possible. Unlikely, but it's not far-fetched. The Chiefs still need to win out. The 49ers beat the Ravens. The Dolphins beat the Ravens. And the Bills beat the Dolphins. Like, you had it all figured out. You had it all mapped out. You look like that dude from It's Always Sunny with, like, the stuff all on there, and there's like strings all over the board. I had a simple reply. LOL. LOL. Because I don't know how you even, like, and now we have more information because obviously the week is over, and now we're looking at the last two regular season games trying to figure out. I think the one seed is no longer a factor, but I don't know how you can even mentally go there when you see what this team is doing on a week-to-week basis. Like, I got no faith in them beating the Bengals this Sunday. None.
But to my defense, before this game, all of their losses, it's not like they were losing to bad teams. Before this game, probably the worst team they lost to was the Packers. And they could still be a playoff team. Or you could say the Broncos. I mean, they're both, but they're in the same tier. But they're still in the playoff mix. So it's not like they're losing to these bottom of the barrel teams. So I don't think me saying that they could have beat the Raiders at home when they were 10-point favorites,
that they could beat the Bengals when they're 7-point favorites and beating the Chargers, I don't think that was crazy to say before it happened. So, like, for you to act disingenuous is pretty nasty. Because even before you didn't pick the Raiders to win this game.
No, but I didn't. I just thought the one seed conversation was a little premature. It was like if the Chiefs were to, and I think I said this last week, I want Sir to go back and pull this. Like, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year, it would be the greatest coaching job that Andy Reid has ever done, because they're not a Super Bowl caliber team. They're not clicking at all cylinders, not playing like a playoff team, right? They're not playing well. So, like, for them to get the one seed, they would even be backing into it. And I just appreciate now that is put to bed, because there's no more hiding. This is who they are. This is where they are also currently. And, like, it's bigger than the wide receiver room. We've been talking about the wide receiver room for effing 9 months now. Like, there are more problems on the offense than just the lack of talent in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, you can't blame me, man. I'm used to the Chiefs coming out and somehow getting some luck happen at the end where the seeding just works out perfectly for them. So I still thought it was a possibility, man. So
what seed you thinking now? What's the most likely scenario you see here? Two games left, Bengals, Chargers. Obviously the Ravens got a big win last night, which that was right on your wish list that got crossed off. Sorry.
Everything I wanted to happen didn't happen. The Dolphins lost to the Dolphins beat the Cowboys. The Niners lost to the Ravens and the Chiefs lost.
You went over me. I went over four.
But so I mean, they'll most likely settle in where they're at now as the 3 seed, because here's the thing, they can't even get the 2 seed really unless the Patriots beat the Bills. Because here's the scenario: if the Dolphins lose out, which just could happen because they play the Ravens and the Bills, and the Chiefs went out, they will be over the Dolphins. But the problem is the Bills could still win that division. And if the Bills win that division, that means they jumped the Chiefs because they beat the Chiefs head-to-head. And the Bills got to play the Patriots and then the Dolphins week 18, which could be for that division crown. So that's why the 2 seed is probably unlikely to happen since you lost to Buffalo head-to-head. So I think whoever wins that division will be the 2 seed, either the Dolphins or the Bills, and the Chiefs will settle in at 3 where they're at right now.
I hate to be the Grinch here, but you know the AFC West is still up for grabs too, technically.
Yeah, there's still a possibility. There's still a possibility.
What percentage would you put on? And I believe the scenario is Chiefs lose out, which I don't think is extremely likely, but Chiefs lose out, Raiders went out, Las Vegas would have the tiebreaker. What percentage do you put on that potentially happening, considering the Chiefs have lost 5 of their last 8?
I think it's about 5%. Yeah, I think it's really low.
Serta.
Yeah, it's about 5%. Because the Raiders, I mean, let's go into this world where the Chiefs lose to the Bengals. Let's just go there. The Raiders don't have an easy game this week. They got to play the Colts in Indianapolis, and they're fighting for the playoff lives right now. They're the 7 seed, so that's not going to be an easy game. And then I'm not sure who the Raiders play week 18. Let me look it up real quick.
Somebody in the division, probably Denver.
They play the Broncos in Vegas, so it can go either way. So, I mean, but obviously the Chiefs just take care of business and get it over with if you can beat the Bengals. But Aaron Ladd has no confidence they're going to do that.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's go to the preview.
Stop it. Stop it. You can't do this. You can't escape. You can't make these plays. You can't make these throws.
Come on, give us a sneak preview.
Chiefs preview.
Week 17 in the National Football League, Kansas City Chiefs will play host to the Cincinnati Bengals, quarterback by Jake Browning. 9-6 Chiefs, 8-7 Bengals, 3:25 kick on New Year's Eve from GHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. Look, to me, first note here was on injuries. It's all about Pacheco. And we've been talking about the struggling run game, and we'll keep an eye on Donovan Smith and his availability after Wanya Morris has kind of a rough day against the Raiders. But if Isaiah Pacheco can't go on Sunday, and I think the stat is that no player who sustained a concussion in 1 week has cleared protocol and made it back in time this entire season in the fallout of the two.
There's been a couple of guys since that.
There's a couple of guys who have done it.
Trevor Lawrence did it just recently, and it was somebody else. I can't remember right now.
It's difficult, especially considering the circumstances. And
it's a short week.
It is a short week, so we'll monitor that. If he can't go, your lead back is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he's going to be, he's going to be in that room with LaMichael Perine and Denaric Prince. So I'm monitoring Isaiah Pacheco's availability for a team that already struggles in the run game.
Yeah, it's definitely problematic, especially since you already have McKinnon out. I think if you have two of those three guys, you're fine. But between obviously McKinnon, Pacheco, and Clyde, if you only have one of those three guys, now I'm concerned. Now I'm concerned because now you have to really rely on Perine to be your running back too, and haven't seen anything on that front to have any confidence that he can be a stabilizing force there. Now, CEH has provided a little bit of juice, especially in the passing game, but talking about the running game specifically, it hasn't been the best. But the Cincinnati run defense can be had, though. This is not the classic Bengals defense that the Chiefs have seen over the last two or three years. You know, they lost some guys to free agency and injuries of that sort. And, you know, I think there is something, too, when you don't have your quarterback there. You kind of subconsciously maybe lose a little bit of fire, you know. But even though Jake Browning has been playing good besides this past game, he came back down to earth against Pittsburgh, threw three picks in that game. Steelers beat the Bengals 34-11 Saturday afternoon. So they get an extra couple days of rest. You know, once again, the Chiefs are on the short end of the stick on that. You know, you play Monday. Bengals played on Saturday. So they've had an extra 48 hours to prepare for this game. And obviously, both these teams are very familiar with each other, though. So I don't think that really matters that much. And when it comes to this matchup, but on the Chiefs side, you never seen Jacob Browning before, but obviously it's still the same system and things like that. But I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is going to play. I honestly think he's done a year. He had a separated shoulder, didn't play against Pittsburgh. That's a tough injury to come back from. And I think the way they lost that game, they may quietly be mailing it in maybe, but obviously against the Chiefs, they're going to really want to win. Just because, you know, it's
still bad blood there.
A Bengals-Chiefs thing, even though Joe Burrow's not there, I think they still want to win that game. But I think his injury is bad enough to where they're not going to want to risk a separated shoulder for Ja'Marr Chase.
And it's in Burrowhead, too?
Stop it. That name's retired, man.
does Kadarius Toney come back and play this week, in your opinion?
I think he does. You know, it seemed like he was not – I mean, he didn't practice last week, but I think it was more precautionary, especially now you got a –
Precautionary?
Well, because you have a short – because you have a short week. So I don't think they wanted him to play on Monday and then have to play 6 days later. I know you're – I get it. I know it's crazy, but I really think it's a thing with Tony, man. As sad as it may be, Aaron, I think it's – some truth there that he's kind of on a pitch count, low managing, man. While Aaron is just rolling his eyes over there for you audio listeners right now.
Oh, man. The line is 7.5 for this one. I know we're about to go to Vegas in a second and get your picks. I can't believe that. That to me feels like a lot of points for a team that really, if they get down 10 points, the game is over. If KC gets down double digits, the game is over in 2023. It's amazing to say that considering what we saw in
February. They came back down 14-0 against the Raiders in Vegas just a month ago.
This is not even that team. This is not even the same team that played in Vegas a month ago. Their tackles are worse. Their running backs are worse. And their wide receivers.
I can't argue. I have no pushback. What is your main take on this game, though? I mean, you said you have no faith, so it's not like you're picking Cincinnati to win.
Yeah, I'll take Kansas City by 3, but I don't really have much faith in that pick, really. I just don't. They got to win these. They got to win these 24-14 ball games. They got to win these. And like you were talking about earlier, like the game script. They're the team that has turned into like, we have to control like how the game is going. We got to play keep away. I appreciate y'all running up in the chat. I'm going to get to a bunch of these comments after we get back from Vegas. We got one very important thing to do ahead of week 17, and that's check in on Mark's picks.
Place your bets.
Oh, there it is. There it is. 2 touchdowns. Win by at least 3.
Let's go to Vegas with Mark.
Oh, brother. Give me the bad news.
I mean, if MBS is out there running cardio on Christmas, what are you doing in Vegas? Lord of mercy.
Just building new houses, man, in Vegas. Building new casinos. That's what I'm doing. I'm
helping the casinos. They see you coming and just open up.
Oh, their eyes get big when Mark Gunnels walks in. Oh, they know it's going to be a good day.
Mark Gunnels went 1-for-2 last week. He had the Chiefs. It's the spread. I think the number you gave me was 10. Then you took the over on Mahomes passing yards at 269.5.
He low-key like came closer than he should have. He ended up like with
closer.
I mean, from the start of the game, it was like negative.
Way close. After that first quarter, you were like, damn, I'm about to go over 3.
What was the one I got right again?
You took the under on Adams receiving yards. 70.5. That was a no sweat. No sweat bet there. 1-2 week. Mark Gunnels is 16-28-1 for the year in Vegas. Probably a little too late to get back to 500.
You say that record and say it again.
16-28-1.
Yes. Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
It's look, rebuilding year. Rebuilding year. For Mark Gunnels out in Vegas, he's got 3 more plays for us this week ahead of week 17 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Mark Gunnels, take it away.
All right, so a little different approach here. I only got 1 player propped on this week. Got 3 plays still for you. The 1 player prop I got is Clyde Edwards-Helaire anytime touchdown. I think with Pacheco probably being out this game, obviously no Jet McKinnon. I can see him getting the end zone, whether it's a receiving touchdown or a running touchdown. Feel really good about that one since there's not too many options in the running back room. So I like that a lot. The next play, this number is way too high on the over-under. It's 44.5. That's way too many points to me. I'm definitely going to under on this one. This feels like a 23-17, 20-17 type game. I don't see any world where it gets to 45 or more. So I love the under on the total points there at 44.5. And we talked about it earlier. The spread is way too high, man. 7 points? There's no way I'm laying 7 with this Chiefs team right now, man. Give me the Bengals plus 7 for sure. I do have the Chiefs winning the game, but 7 is just way too much for my blood. Not to go on the other side here. So those are my 3 plays. CEH anytime touchdown. The under on the total points at 44.5 and Bengals plus 7 on the spread.
You're saving your good tickets for the end of the year, man. I mean, if you would have had more like this, you might have been in a better spot.
Yeah, I think I'll at least go 2-1 this one. I really feel good about this.
Serta, I think we had a voicemail, really quick one, as we kind of listened to the Pulse of the Fan here on the way out. Chiefs Coast to Coast, episode 70. Let's play that voicemail really quickly.
And this is not us. This is not our team. Not what we look like. Offense needs to pull it together.
This is your team.
It is us.
This is what they've looked like the entire year. Respectfully. And I can't believe people expected anything different just because it was Christmas and Taylor Swift was in the building. This is what they do. I think I sent that out after the first quarter. This is how they start games, Mark Gunnels. They practice all week long, and they come out the gate with punt, punt, punt.
Well, to be fair, though, Aaron, they haven't looked that bad. This was the worst all year. Like, they didn't even get anything going. At least in other games, you could see, oh, they're actually moving the ball, but they just had, like, an unlucky turnover, a tip ball in the red zone. Like, they didn't even get to the red zone. Like, so I think you're being a little unfair saying that as far as this particular Raiders game, because they have not looked that bad. Negative 18 yards after the first quarter.
They're the worst fourth quarter scoring team in the National Football League.
No, I get that. I get that. But I'm just saying they haven't looked this bad throughout an entire course of a game all year. I can't point to one game that looked this bad this season.
KL on YouTube says, even if we win the next two games, does it matter? It's a good question.
So I'm going to break down the scenario again. It really doesn't, because the only way they can get – no, seriously.
You still got to get in, Mark. You still got to win one of these games to get in.
I think he's asking, though, like, as far as moving up the seating. I'm assuming that's what he means. But yeah, I mean, obviously, if you win the next two games, you're winning the division. If you win this game, you win the division, and then you lock in the three seed for sure. But if you're talking about going up to the two seed, you would need the Bills to lose the Patriots and then beat the Dolphins week 18. But you'll need the Dolphins to lose both games. They'll have to lose to the Ravens and then the Bills week 18. Because if the Bills win both and the Dolphins lose both, the Bills jump you for the two seed because they own a tiebreaker because they beat you head to head. Unless I'm wrong on that, Serta. Well, yeah, they lost to them. Yeah, but they play them again. Yeah, they did. But I don't see them getting swept by the New England. Serta said Bills have already lost to New England. Oh, I guess you didn't. Oh, I see what you're trying to. I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, they play again this week. Yeah.
Orlando wants our thoughts on why MVS gets $11 million to run wind sprints and outsnapped Rice and James. I did think the MVS, and this dude's gotten piled on a lot. We talk about scapegoating. I mean, because it was just an easy transition for everybody to go from Skywarn, Kadarius Toney to MVS. Like, he's had a bad year. He's regressed. I said on this platform before the year, if he made the biggest leap forward, Kansas City would benefit offensively. Had 40 catches on 80 targets last year. Both of those numbers slashed in half. And I thought we were actually trending away from MVS. But with the two guys out, he was injected back into the lineup in a big way and hasn't been great. I do not want to see at any point in time in the rest of the regular season or throughout the playoffs, MVS outsnapping Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice should be the bell cow wide receiver going forward.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, I just can't wait to see how this receiver room looks in the offseason, man. It's a lot of decisions to be made from Brett Veach, and we'll get to it. I know a lot of people are already ready to end this season. I'm not there yet just because the defense is really, really good, but it's looking brim. It's looking very, very dim right now.
Last one from Mike. Mike on Facebook says the offense has been exposed as a major liability. Can't run block or consistently pass protect. Short yardage plays from shotgun. Too many dump offs behind the line of scrimmage. Defense doesn't have to worry about a large part of the field. They just take away Kelsey and send an extra rusher every play or two. It's safe, man. Like, defenses know they see the same thing we do. And like a lot of the trick plays and stuff that I think Kansas City pulls out, they try to like hide. I think Shannon Sharp on First Take compared it to a girl who wears too much makeup today. They try to hide their, weaknesses or their hide things. That was his analogy, not mine. But like for KC, there is no threat of the deep passing game, and hell, there's no threat of like a consistent run game either. So that's why you're getting a lot of the line of scrimmage type throws, because that is an extension of the short run game. That is an extension. The short pass is an extension of the run game for Kansas City. Like, Rashee Rice, somebody who's just coming into a new system, doesn't have a full knowledge of all the route trees or things they like to learn. Like, that is what he's comfortable with so far. And since he's the bell cow, that's the plays that you're running. That's how you matriculate the ball down the field. That's why I say it's not fixable in the last 2 weeks after Christmas, because to get these big changes, these major changes that you're hoping to see to get this offense back to in the high 20s, 30s again, it's going to take more than just band-aids and lipstick and makeup. You're going to need to change how you look at the schemes.
Shout out to the Kingdom's Queens in the chat on YouTube. They said it's given 17-14.
That does sound right.
Yeah, 44.5. I'm surprised that number is so high. I'm slamming the under on that.
Shout out the Kingdom Queens. I'm headed off to Dallas. Cotton Bowl coverage this week. I'll be back in time for game day, though. What's your game day plans?
Not sure yet, but I will say this. Well, I will ask you this. Why aren't you in Arizona covering KU? They play tonight, man.
We only cover, like, legitimate.
KU, UNLV, baby, in 1 hour. Let's go. Rock chalk.
Legitimate bowl games. You know, bowl games that actually have, like, some real meaning to them and history. And
so you don't care about the guaranteed rate bowl? Come on, it's the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, man.
Who won the Guaranteed Rate Bowl last year?
I'm not sure.
Where's the legacy behind the Guaranteed Rate Bowl?
It's very prestigious, man.
I love how KU's in the Guaranteed Rate, K-State Pop-Tarts Bowl. You know, Mizzou is the big Bulldogs this year. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. And that, this is so nasty because they're going to beat Ohio State without Marvin Harrison. And you guys are going to act like,
look, you can only play who's out there, man. Marvin Harrison didn't think this was important enough to play in.
So maybe it's not that important after all. you put yourself in a hole with that one. Maybe it's not that, because he would play if it was a playoff game.
Oh, we'll have plenty to recap on our next episode of Chiefs Coast to Coast. It'll be 2024. We'll be in the new year. Hopefully the Chiefs will have a new philosophy offensively. By then, and maybe they'll be AFC West champions.
Please give us a win. Oh, one more thing. Are you coming out here to LA week 18?
It's TBD. Not okay. Sure yet. You know,
I'll make sure we get that $75 back this time.
Coast to Coast boys, we out, man.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.